This is Doc Mike, host of Right on the Left Coast podcast. This is a podcast about homestead living at the Ravenwood Homestead here in Oregon. We share our experiences and discuss topics that may affect living the homestead lifestyle. Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media, or for downloading the podcast or listening wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I appreciate it. I really do. I'm not kidding about that. I haven't been 100%, you know, like on Wednesdays and Saturdays lately, because, man, it's been busy and there's other stuff to do. It's just simple. There's so much stuff to do. Holy cow. Let me make sure I get through all this stuff first. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to sneeze right off the bat. I hate when that happens. Okay, so this is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy shining some light in the darkness. By the way, there is no more news, man. I'm not kidding. There's no news. It's been gone for a long time. People are getting their information from podcasts, from vlogs, from streaming sites. They do not trust mainstream media, and I don't blame them. They haven't said anything truthful in decades. Along those lines, if you are on any social media sites, could you please post that we are live or bring people to Real Liberty Media to download some podcasts, listen to Hal Anthony Behind the Woodshed, or myself. Here I have Discerning Observer, a political show, more on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, and this is the Homestead Hour, where I mostly cover stuff that goes on around the homestead here at the Ravenwood Homestead in Sheridan, Oregon. But catch Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. He'll be on tomorrow. Two solid hours of information. That guy is incredible. I'm not kidding. I love listening to him. Just for the information that he has to pass on, the links he makes, he does some deep dives. Oh, am I not live? Let's see. I'm on your site, but just listing your PCAST. Oh, hang on. I am on RLM only tonight. I'm podcasting only on Real Liberty Media tonight. I've been doing some live videos lately, and that's been really kind of cool. I want to work out some bugs. Like there's part of it. If I watch the video feed so I can see the chat room, it kind of screws me up. So I got to figure out how to watch the live feed without getting distracted, because it's like 15 seconds behind, you know, me actually sitting here. And then, of course, but just to see the chat room, maybe I would be able to hide everything but the chat room. The other problem is, oh, that's actually easily fixable. Anyway, yeah, no problem. So I'm only on Real Liberty Media tonight, which is cool. That is where we host our shows, post our, you know, blogs, and Vinny's been on there posting a lot of information lately. Good job, Vinny, getting in the spirit here and contributing to the site. That's awesome. He actually is the owner of the site now. Man, I was thinking about Grimner. There's a reason I was thinking about Grimner. It's because I had to go through some email to find one email, and he had thousands of emails, of course, because his email sites are what, that's a long story, you guys don't need to know. But I was just thinking about him, you know. He really created a great environment, and it's really too bad it's kind of shrunk, and, you know, it hasn't been able to regain the footing that it once had, but we'll see what happens with that. Anyway, you can catch my Discerning Observer podcast this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be discussing the extermination of the human race. And I truly mean the extermination of the human race. And I have some, I put together some links. I've tied together some ideas that clearly shows that there is a force trying to absolutely eliminate human beings. Well, at least you and I, human beings, they may try to, you know, preserve part of this earth for themselves, but mainly, I mean, if COVID wasn't enough to convince you, if COVID wasn't enough to convince you that they're trying to eliminate all human life on earth, I've got some stuff that's going to really kind of spell it out. And I know a lot of you have done a much better job than I have of putting those things together, and you see it more clearly than other people. And that is awesome. I think it's fantastic that so many people, especially people who hang around like Real Liberty Media over on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, some of the people who I listen to on AM, local AM station, KXL, you know, there's some people who really, and they're just regular people, just like, you know, regular folks, but they see it. And I've kind of compiled some ideas from all these different areas of life. And if you think you're safe because you're on their side, I got news for you. They don't like you any more than they like anybody else. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that at least here in the United States we face, is that, you know, we keep having this battle between right and left. And the people who are trying to eliminate us are just laughing all the way to the bank. And I may mean that literally too, because they do not care one iota about you or anybody else. Let me see, what does that say? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if people are going to take off for the summertime, or if they're going to hang around, or what. Yeah, I kind of wonder if there are less people around. I don't know, man. Let me get back to my notes. Let me finish this intro. I'm done. I wanted to share something with you. This is the craziest thing. Oh yeah, wait a minute. God dang it. I want to see. Oh, okay. I did transfer the camera. Well, that's good. So the video will be up on Rumble and BitChute. I forgot to put it on BitChute last week. What an idiot. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine. I do this for fun. Sometimes, you know, lately, I'm not kidding you guys. I have some really good news to share with you, but I just want to tell you this right off the bat. For, I don't know, a month or two, I have put having fun as almost the highest priority in my life. Almost. Food production is pretty much the highest priority. And luckily, I don't have to do a whole lot of that myself. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a little secret here. Rochelle and I have been alone for a week because the kids and grandkids took off to a job that Sheck has. I mean, they're all kind of there, and Whitney also went. And so they're gone for 2 weeks, and we just ended the first week of just hanging out together. And, you know, we have a lot of chores here, like a lot of chores, because all the grandkids each have chores every day. It's important. I think it's important that you learn how to work, you know, and earn some money, earn some credits for whatever. And, you know, like pay your way, you know. you're going to live here, okay, but you got to do some stuff. Like, you either have to pick up dog poop, clean the chicken coop, do the dishes, mow the lawn, something. Whatever your age-appropriate chore is, you're going to do it. Well, Rochelle and I are alone, so we just do the chores. Okay, honestly, Rochelle does the chores because on the 3 days that I work, and then I did, helped her out a little bit in the evening when I got home. And, but we've been handling it. It's not like they're ridiculous chores or anything. You know, it's just stuff that has to be done every day, especially on a homestead, especially when you're raising birds and you're growing food and you have to maintain the jungle. Jesus, we went from pouring rain to this beautiful, I'm not kidding, the weather has been unbelievable. Okay, so let's just go ahead and bring it up for the camera. News, not independent, legacy news, my local. We'll bring this up. This is the local news. Uh-oh. Dang it. That's unfortunate. Okay. First alert weather. Wait, maybe. Let's see. Let's do... Okay. We'll do this. 7 day forecast. You guys got to see this. This is unbelievable. Look at this freaking weather. I'm not kidding, man. This is like the... And it started last weekend, Memorial Day weekend. It was so beautiful. Like indescribable. Not kidding. So look at this. 78 degrees tomorrow, 85 Monday, 92 Tuesday, 90 on Wednesday, 84 Thursday, 80 on Friday, 75, maybe a slight chance of shower on Saturday. Today is Saturday. So 1 week from today, for the next week, we have blue sky and sunshine, and then maybe a little chance of rain, which we really do need. So hopefully we get that. But it has just every day, I'm not kidding, like Rochelle and I have been sitting outside in the little area we have covered out here, and we put the baseball game on, watch the news or the races, whatever it is. Like when I get home from work, we'll sit out there, eat our dinner, and I'm not kidding, the weather's been so perfect, we just could hang out, like, and do nothing, basically, and then get up and go do our chores before it gets too dark, and then round up the birds. I'm going to tell you about the birds, man, the new birds especially. The freaking guineas, like, I think chickens are pretty stupid, and that's not an insult. They're just not the brightest animal in the world. Yeah, they're smart enough at some things, but they're an animal, man, with a little tiny brain. Well, these guineas, hands down, beat them in stupidity, and I'm not kidding. I described an incident before where, they just... Anyway, if you listen to a previous podcast, you can hear that, but I'm going to tell you how bad it is. So there's a big door that opens up that goes into an open area that's just fenced in where the birds can be outside of the coop but be protected from predators because it's all fenced, top, sides, front and back, all of it. And there's double doors that open up, regular standard size doors, but they're fencing. And you open the door, and to get them in, I mean, the door's open all day, so they can go in and out all day long. But at night, we close the door, so we want everything in. Well, these guineas, like, okay, most of them will go in, and then there'll be one, two, or three stragglers, right? And they are so stupid, like, they'll literally run, like, turn into the coop, but literally run right past the door, even going around the open door. And, like, I just shake my head because it's so funny to watch them. Like, their buddies are literally just a couple feet away inside that open area, and they have a chance to join them just by going through this big open space, and yet they choose not to do that. They actually will run right past the door. Anyway, but it brings me to another point. So it kind of takes both Rochelle and I to not corner them, but to herd them into that spot by blocking, you know, one person on one side and one person on the other side, and you just kind of slowly close in until they basically forced into the door. And then I was telling Rochelle today, I was like, you know what? I said, I think I'm going to use the drone to round them up so you don't have to actually go down there with me. And I'll just use the drone on one side because I'm sure they'll be like terrified of the drone. Terrified is a little extreme. They look like they're terrified of everything. And they probably are. I mean, they're not fully grown, number one. And, you know, they're still kind of learning their environment, of course. So of course everything scares them. Every little thing is terrifying. And the poor things, they look kind of like prehistoric anyway. and just looks like they're just scared of everything. And they run like, you know, they're going to die, which they have. Let me tell you this. So one of them was up here in the upper compound near the house, and it was all by itself. And I was like, what are you doing up here all by yourself? You know, you need to go down and be with your buddies. And I, of course, try and kind of scoot it out of here, and it keeps running the other way, the opposite way. And finally, I thought, it'll go down eventually. It's like in the evening time when the sun starts setting, all the chickens and birds, they just slowly kind of, you know, meander on down to the coop. And, you know, as it starts getting dark, they all go in the coop and they go get on their roost, and that's it for the night. So I figured, you know, it would kind of eventually work its way down to the coop. No, guess what? My neighbor tells me like the next day, hey, you know, there's, it looks like part of a bird carcass just outside your property, but just outside of the fenced in area that we call the compound. And I go, really? I go, what does it look like? And they go, oh, it's like black and white and gray. And I was like, oh, sounds like a guinea. So I go over there and look, and sure enough, it's like 1 foot and the beak and some feathers, the rest of it totally eaten. And I was like, you dumbass, you should have gone down to the coop when I told you to go down to the coop. Oh, I don't know how they've survived this long, but I'm actually going to kind of look into that, because I know these birds are from Africa. I know that that's where they originate from. But, I mean, what kind of environment must they live in, you know, and I wonder how they're raised, like if their parents actually kind of take care of them and protect them, or if they just have so many babies that, you know, having a few sacrificed to the local predators is not a big loss. You know, there are some animals that do that. They just, you know, there's those schools of like herring. There's so many herring that when a predator comes in, they'll take maybe a few hundred. But it doesn't matter because there's like a million freaking herring. And, you know, that's how they continue to survive, is just they outproduce the predators. I'm having a little coffee. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Wait, let me see. Who wrote me that? Somebody. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes, they did. Thank you for asking. I'll get back to you on that, too. God dang it. What was I saying? Hate to get distracted, but I like responding to people in the chat room, but thank you. Yeah, we got together a little bit for sure. Oh, the birds and other animals who just reproduce the predators. There's some interesting relationships between prey and predators. I think I talked about around here before the quail population. You'll see the two main players here are coyotes and quail. So you'll see the quail population increase dramatically, and you'll see quail all over the place, you know, like over a couple years, a few years, you'll just see the numbers getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you'll hear the coyote population kind of getting bigger in numbers, and there's more and more of them. And then you see the quail population drop off. And then, of course, with that, the coyote population drops off. I mean, with a little help from their friends, Doc Mike. Yeah, very little help. They really kind of live in this kind of symbiotic relationship where, it, you know, if the quail are doing good, the coyotes are doing good. And if the quail are, you know, when the coyotes do too good, then, yeah, nature's dance, exactly. Then, you know, when the coyotes have eaten so many quail, well, they can't support pups, so they quit having so many pups, and, you know, population goes down. Hey, that reminds me, this is the craziest thing. So in Oregon here, I talked about this a few weeks ago, there was a wolverine, actually more than one wolverine spotted in the Columbia River Gorge area. Well, basically in Oregon, two different sightings, I think, or maybe four, of wolverines in Oregon, in places where they hadn't been seen for a long time. And then I see in California that a wolverine has showed up in California. It was spotted kind of, it was spotted in Yosemite and in Inlo National Park, excuse me. I think it's National Park, not 100% sure. Did I save that link? No. Okay, well, anyway, but it's kind of cool, you know, to have some of these animals kind of returning on their own, if you get my drift, not artificially being brought back to life and being placed in an environment that they're not used to, like we've done with the wolves here in the Pacific Northwest and in the West, like Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Washington, Oregon. They didn't actually reintroduce wolves to Oregon and Washington and California, but the wolves that they repopulated in Yellowstone, did I say Yellowstone earlier? I meant Yosemite. The wolverine showed up in Yosemite National Park in California and Inlo National Park or State Park, I don't know. But anyway, they say it was the same wolverine that was seen, and they think the reason it showed up was because of the extremely heavy snowfall, and that wolverines are solitary animals, and it came by itself. But what I was getting to about the wolves is they reintroduced wolves into Yellowstone in like 1995, I remember, because I kind of accidentally snuck up on the guys who were releasing them in the middle of the night in Yellowstone way back then. And I think it was 95, pretty sure. And anyway, now they've just kind of reproduced and moved on. You know, some of them they spread out, you know, from their birth group. Eventually the males, I don't think, are allowed to hang out for very long, and the females probably eventually get to the point where they want to go find their own alpha male, and off they go. So now we have wolves in Oregon and Washington, and you've heard me talk a few times about how they're trying to manage predation by these wolves on cattle, you know, producers. And they're doing some of that with drones now. So I thought that was really interesting, really kind of makes me want to, go help out, like do something with my drone license and my drones and even invest in more. But we'll see. I'm having too much fun doing other things right now. But you never know, man. I'm not kidding. You never know when your time's going to come up to have to quit working, doing whatever it is you do. I wonder sometimes if it's time to step away from dentistry. I don't ever want to work beyond my ability to treat people well. So, luckily I have a couple good assistants who they will tell me if I'm slipping up. And I had an issue like a week or so ago where I just had the shakes, like after lunch, man. I could not control my steadiness. And it was because I had this giant hit of sugar and caffeine at lunchtime and not on enough food in my stomach, and I shouldn't have done it anyway. I know better than to have caffeine in the middle of the day. Dentists do. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but we do really fine work and really small scale. You don't have time for shakes. But anyway, yeah, they let me know that, I needed to do something like go settle down, relax, whatever. But I hope that I don't push it to the point where I'm not providing good care. I guess that's what I'm getting to. And you never know when that day's going to come, man. Whatever it is you do. I'm not kidding. All right, back to the notes here. Oh, I really wanted to ask how you all are doing. I mean, really, how are you doing? Because I know for a while now, I have had to kind of step away from like the big stories of the day, or I can't really step away from it, but I need to not be so, I grabbed the wrong window, not be so like tied up in it. Like, I want to continue to know what's going on because I think we always have to be aware of what the enemy is doing. And I am no longer, I just think 100% politicians are the enemy. Like, I don't think they have any of our interests. Absolutely, they don't care about us. I mean, I'm going to do a whole show on how they're trying to exterminate the entire human race. Well, all of us anyway. And yeah, it just kind of wears on me, It's like, okay, you can only take so much. And so sometimes I just have to come back and just get lost in what I could do right here. And I know, like, a lot of people are prepared or preparing, or they have a plan in their mind about, what they're going to do if such and such happens. This is kind of interesting. So we have a road crew. It's a community road crew because our roads up here are not maintained by the county. Oh, by the way, just a little side note. I did a little video a while back on how crappy they did at repaving the paved road that comes up to this hill. And guess what? They actually came back and repaved that thing correctly, like 3 inches thick. They took old asphalt out and they relayed new asphalt, and it is like really nice now. So I don't know. Maybe I'll make another video and put them side by side so you can actually see how crappy a job they did. Because somebody saw that video and they were like, it probably looks worse, in person. And it really does. And I even tried to slow down the video so you could see just how crappy it was. But now it's just like this smooth, black, deep asphalt. They took care of all the crappy parts in the road. But back to my point. So we have a road crew, a road association, which I'm not big on any kind of homeowners associations at all. But this is pretty necessary because we all have to use the same road to get up here and to get off of here. And it's all dirt or gravel. It's only gravel because we've graveled it. But anyway, so we had a meeting today to discuss this year's maintenance, right? Because every year there's a certain amount, I mean, more than once a year, but every year there's kind of a big expenditure to put into the road to get it, graded and rolled and re-graveled and crowned and all that stuff. You know, it's real important, but the road is in really good condition since we started really taking care of it. But what I thought was interesting today is the woman who is the spokesperson, not really the leader, because we all have agreed to do this. And, you know, it's kind of like, it is voluntary. It's like, hey, it costs money to maintain the road. Would you please pitch in? And, you know, we'll keep it nice. And so there's no real one person in charge, but it was at her house, so she was doing the speaking. And it was outside, of course, which is cool. It was 9:30 in the morning, beautiful sunshine, blue sky. It was just right temperature. Of course, as a ginger, I couldn't take it, so I had to stand in the shade. But it was really, really pleasant. But what was interesting, I thought, is that she was talking about how, kind of encouraging everybody to have some kind of a plan to get off of the hill, because there was a couple new people there. There's people, two new families that purchased homes up here. I guess, fortunately for them, the owners of those two homes passed away, so there were homes available and property, and they scored, but they paid a ridiculous amount of money for those two properties. I'm not kidding. It's a crazy, stupid amount of money. But it was cool that she then took the time to tell everybody, remind everybody that there are only two ways off of the top of the hill. And up until like 2 years ago, there was actually only one way off of the top of the hill. So it's kind of nice that the other way's been opened up. But also along with that, she was talking about being prepared. Like, she keeps her trailer. Now, they have horses and some goats. Or no, sheep. I think they have sheep and goats, come to think of it, and horses. And they keep their trailers attached to the truck in high fire season. Because, you know, if you need to go, and we kind of do this too. Like, we have stuff staged, ready to go in fire season because we're up here on the hill. And if you've seen some of the drone footage, I mean, when you see that drone kind of looking north, looking west, looking east, it's all trees, man, forest. So, you know, it could happen at any time, either, you know, lightning, thunderstorm, you know, a human-caused whatever. Stuff can happen. Rochelle and I always have this plan, you know, to keep a certain barrier around our property. That's why we water certain areas and keep certain, you know, we don't let stuff get too tall. We don't have big trees too close to the house. That's not true. We do, but they're the kind of tree that won't necessarily like keep a fire going, intense fire going. Anyway, I thought it was really interesting that woman actually passed on some information to the new people, like to keep this in mind. You know, if this hill catches on fire, you got to get off of this hill because we're surrounded by forest. No, No, and they still have a pile of rubble to burn too. There's one more giant burn, from that clear cut we did a couple of years ago. There's one more pile to burn, and it's becoming overgrown with blackberries. So, going to take a bit, and I don't know when they're going to burn it. But I wish they would have done it before now. But anyway, hopefully this fall they'll touch that last pile off and let it go. So anyway, kind of good for everybody to be prepared and to be thinking about that, because of course this is the craziest thing, but we've had like the driest, I think we had the driest April, no, the driest May on record. Well, almost. I think there was drier Mays, but I mean it was dry, and May is not dry in Oregon, especially here on the western part of the state. In the valley, May is not a dry month, but now we've already had 2 weeks of dry, warm, sunny, blue sky, beautiful weather, and things are drying out. And yeah, they've already had a fire or two here in the Pacific Northwest, here in Oregon, as a matter of fact. That's funny. Can't tell what I'm drinking because it's in a green can, and no, it's not Mountain Dew. Okay, let's move on. What's next? Oh, I wanted to. I know. I wanted to tell you guys this. I wanted to give you a little bit of a health update because this is crazy. I never thought that this was. I never thought either one of these things was going to go the way they're going. Okay. I had a cardiologist follow up, I don't know, on Tuesday morning. And so he's kind of doing his thing, like telling me, how things are going, and kind of looked over my blood work and stuff. And he goes, okay. He goes, well, in August, he goes, after 1 year, he says, you can stop taking Plavix. And I was like, what? Like, stop taking Plavix? Yeah, man. So I'm not kidding. Now, you see parts of me on video, but you have no idea, working on a farm, how many times you bump yourself, arms, legs, elbows, head, whatever. And being on blood thinners, like I'm on dual anticoagulant therapy, they call it DACT. And that means some blood thinner, usually it's warfarin or digoxin, digitoxin, I mean, warfarin, and now it's Plavix and some others, but and an aspirin on top of that. So I'll be able to quit the prescription one, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I'll be able to quit that prescription medication, whatever it is Plavix at this point in August, because 1 year, it's been 1 year, it'll be 1 year since my heart attack in August. So that was kind of crazy because I didn't expect that. I just thought I'd be on this blood thinner the rest of my life. And as far as doing an aspirin a day, I actually was doing a baby aspirin a day before I had this heart attack. So an aspirin a day really isn't going to be that much more. I've probably returned to normal. I won't have these big, ugly black bruises on my body and all various different parts. I might have some because I'm 60 something, 65, and sometimes you just bruise easier. But that was good news. I was shocked actually that I was not going to be on this the rest of my life. So that was kind of good news. And then I actually started my physical therapy for my shoulder, which I really had zero faith in starting that. I don't know why. I just was thinking this thing is too damaged to be fixed by physical therapy. But after I went to physical therapy just one time, and I could feel and understand what the problem was, I thought, okay, I think we're going to be able to fix this with physical therapy. And I'm not going to have to go very much because I'm going to be able to do a lot of it myself. It all has to do with strengthening, which I should have known that, and strengthening certain muscles that have now become weak for whatever reason. You know, shoulders, I don't know. You know, as a dentist, it's my left shoulder. And I can tell you guys, I don't use my left shoulder in dentistry. This is what I do. Dentists, this is what they do. If they're right-handed, dominant, the left hand holds a mirror while the right hand is doing the drilling, doing the extracting, doing the root canals, doing all the stuff. The left hand holds a mirror, and it's pretty much in a static position for hours on end. I mean, yeah, you get a break between patients or whatever, but pretty much that arm doesn't do anything. And when those muscles kind of, you know, give out, become, you know, weak, your freaking shoulder doesn't stay in its joint where it's supposed to. And, yeah, you can have problems. So even after just one session with him, and then he sent me home with exercises to do to help that process, I've noticed a big difference already. Not a huge difference, but I mean, I couldn't raise my arm straight out from my side more than, I don't know, 25, 30 degrees. And now I can get it out there about 60 degrees, maybe, something like that. Anyway, above 45, and that's only been a week. Yeah, I went last Friday, so it's been a week and a day, and I've done the exercises he's given me. And actually, this is kind of crazy. He gave me a lacrosse ball. I don't know if you've ever seen a lacrosse ball, but they're actually pretty hard, kind of like a super ball. And it's for massaging this point on my back. When he was massaging, trying to find these two muscles that he said are responsible for my problem, when he found them and put his fingers on them, I'm not kidding, it was the worst, like, the worst muscle pain I think I've ever felt. Because they were knotted up and you could feel the knots that he was feeling. And so this lacrosse ball, you put it on, you know, between you and a wall on that muscle, and you just massage it. And I've learned this trick, like, right off the bat. I was like, hey, I'm going to throw this thing in the hot tub and I'll have a nice hot soak and massage this area in my shoulder while I'm in the hot tub. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Kind of warm it up, put the massage to it, work it out real good, you know, really reap the benefits of getting that massage. So that's kind of amazing. Those two things, man, the heart attack recovery has been awesome. I've really worked hard on my cardio. Like even today, I don't really, you know, I had, okay. Yeah, I had the knee surgery, which took out some of the meniscus in my knee. So any exercise I do, including walking, it's painful. And today I was like, you know, I really kind of think I ought to take some time off. This thing is sort of hurting. And I was like, you can't take the time off. I mean, your knee will be fine and your heart will stop. That's an exaggeration. Hang on, I got a cough. That is an exaggeration. But it is kind of the truth. You can't really stop doing the cardio. You got to keep the cardio going. And, man, I just had this thought I'm going to share with you. Let me see what else we got going. Oh, we got 15 minutes. I can do this. Oh, God. Nice conversation going on in the chat room. Well, I wanted to tell you guys, while I'm on this subject, I got to see the video of the time in the ER. So that's been almost a year. It was last August I had a heart attack. And I hadn't seen these videos of my heart yet and the placement of the stents because nobody kind of brought it up. and I never asked to see it. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. It was like, I didn't really know they recorded it. I knew that they did it. So the doc this time, he was like looking at the pictures, and there's a whole story I could tell you about all the mischaracterization and the actual deception that the doc is trying to convince me of something I already know isn't true. But I don't know if they think that there's some liability or something, which I'm not. I already know everything I need to know about COVID and the vaccine and the blood clotting and all of those issues to know that what happened to me was not due to atherosclerotic plaque. And I know what that looks like in your arteries. And I have a history 2 years before my heart attack that those pipes were clean and clear and no plaque formed in the short period of time between the time those images were done before the heart attack and the time that I had the heart attack, if you get my drift. Yeah, COVID did it, and it was blood clots, and it's pretty obvious when you see the video. But he kept trying to tell me, well, you know, there's still some area here where the wall of this artery is, you know, it's there's just a little tiny ripple in it. And I could see what he was looking at, but I've seen so many of these images before of arteriosclerotic plaques that block your arteries. I know what it looks like. And I know that that's not what mine looked like. And I know exactly why I had a heart attack. So it was cool to see the images and literally video. Like your heart is beating and they're running this wire down each artery. You know, I think I had three areas where there was clots and that they had to open up. And how in the hell? It's like reading a Rand McNally map of Chicago City and, you know, guiding a wire down each little tiny street until you get to that one area that needs to be opened up. It was incredible. I'm not kidding. It really blew me away. I thought that, you know, dentistry had some pretty bitchin' technology. It is nothing compared to what they do with your heart these days, and thank God that they could and did do that. Okay, moving on. So that's the good news. Oh, so yesterday, Rochelle and I went to town, and we're coming back, and all of a sudden these two cop cars coming toward us on the highway just like slam on their brakes and kind of stop sideways, and we see a dude running across the highway and into this field. And what do? Like, we're sitting there, stop, you know, waiting for, see what's, like, we couldn't go because, you know, there's these two cop cars in the highway just parked. And the dude is just like, he doesn't have a shirt on, and he has flaming, dyed red hair, kind of almost pink. You know, bright red hair, and he's just, you can tell something is not right with the guy, and the cops both had their guns drawn, they're kind of pointing at him, and like Rochelle and I just take out our phones and start videoing. I'm not kidding. Now, just think how crazy this is. Like, some real serious crap is going down right in front of you, and you just break out your cell phone and start recording, like. And I actually said at one point, I go, God, I hope he doesn't run over here toward the cars, you know, like try and carjack somebody. I mean, I wasn't worried about it, but there might have been somebody who was. Oh, what happened? The video stopped. Oh, let's refresh it and see what happens. Let's see. No, I think it's done. Oh, too bad. Well, it's a nice backdrop. Anyway, we'll just leave it like that. So anyway, that was kind of crazy. We just sat there for like 5-10 minutes while this guy is walking backwards through this field of who knows what crop that's up to his armpits. And I think the cops were a little anxious that, you know, they couldn't see what was in the field, and the guy was probably making him nervous, and he was having some kind of mental health crisis or something. I don't know. But the world is crazy, man. I'm not kidding. It's just, we even heard today at that road meeting, they said, oh, yeah, the you know, there's always, everybody kind of catches up on all the gossip. And matter of fact, that's where I found out what was going on with this guy, is because we didn't hang around for it. As soon as there was an opening, we kind of weaved our way through and got out of there. But so I asked at the road meeting, because, you know, there's a couple people there who keep in touch with everything that's going on in this little community. And I said, so I want to know what happened to that guy that got busted across the street from Dairy Queen down here on Highway 18. And somebody just, you know, oh, yeah, that was such and such. And, you know, this is what happened. And I was like, see, that's why I asked, because I know somebody here would know. I'm glad for those people, too. Like, I'm not that way. Like, we don't get involved in a whole lot of whatever's going on in the neighborhood. But I do like to know when stuff is going on, like stuff that I should know. Like, so at this road meeting, they said, yeah, that one day the four sheriff cars and one state patrol came flying up our road. And we're like, what? Like, we never saw that. But apparently, one day in the last month, there was some huge thing that these cops came up this road for whatever reason, I don't know. They didn't catch anybody, but they just were checking out the area for something. And I mean, it's good to know that stuff, so you don't ever drop your guard. You know, always have your guns loaded, know where they are. You know, make sure they're always ready to go. All right. I seen a large bobcat in the woods. Ooh. That's funny. Oh my gosh, bobcats. That is so cool. All right, what else, you guys? I think we talked about all that stuff. Oh, okay. Let me give you a little update on the stuff going on right here in the ground, because this is pretty damn exciting. So, we have the garden planted as much as it's going to be planted right now, which is awesome. And everything is growing. Everything did great. Transplants from the greenhouse are growing out there. Oh, by the way, tonight is strawberry moon, full moon tonight. It's called the strawberry moon, and they say it's the most colorful moon of the year. I wanted to get that in before I forgot, because that's just a little side note, just to keep in mind. Tonight is strawberry moon, and I'm talking about strawberries, or garden vegetables and fruit. So that's how I tied that together. But anyway, so we took plants that were started in the greenhouse, they're planted, they're growing. We have seeds down there, they're growing. We have that apple tree that 2 years ago I showed you guys and told you how many apples came off that four-year-old tree. Well, in the last year, it didn't produce one single apple. And this year, it's 6 years old, and it is flipping loaded with apples. I mean, they're little tiny buds right now, but it is going to be loaded with apples. And I'm really excited about that, because we did so much with the applesauce last time. I mean, with the apples last time. And it carried us throughout the year. And that was just a four-year-old little tree. And now, I mean, I'm not counting my eggs before they hatch, because I know anything can happen between now and then, like harvest time. Like, there could be a fire, there could be a drought that literally, hang on. There could be a drought that, like, takes out the the tree or ruins the vegetables, or some disease come, or some a-hole from the government comes and sprays it and tells us that it's got some kind of bacteria and it's unedible. You know, like your chickens have bird flu, so we have to kill the entire flock of birds. Don't believe it. But the fig trees have figs, and they're young. They're really young. They're only 2 or 3 years old. And they have a ton of figs on them. Cherry tree loaded. All the cherry trees are loaded with cherries. That's the one thing that we don't take the best advantage of. And somehow we should, man, because I'm not kidding. There's got to be, I don't know, an unbelievable number of bushels of cherries on the few trees that we have on and around our property that should be harvested and put to good use. I mean, mostly I eat them fresh, you know, for, I don't know, 3 weeks or a month. I just either stand out there and pick the ones I can get a hold of, or I do selective pruning and I just cut branches off that fall to the ground, and then I can pick all the cherries off of that, and it kind of accomplishes two things. One is it prunes the tree, and two, I get cherries. And we do dry some of those cherries for birds over the winter time, but we really ought to do something with those cherries and make some, I don't know, something, you know, jam, jelly. I don't know what, I've never seen cherry jelly, but yet there must be such a thing. Or, I don't know, something. Maybe even just dry them and have them ready for you know, whatever. Use them in cooking. You could use it in, like, your oatmeal or granola or cereal or whatever. I mean, you can make fig bars, like a fig bar, homemade fig bar or fruit bar. But we really ought to do something with those for sure. But anyway, it's kind of unbelievable how much food right now is growing on our property. And again, it's one of those things where, okay, right, you know, and this is the thing I'm sure with farmers everywhere and people just growing their own food. It's like, okay, right now everything is going good. But you're constantly worried about, not worried, but you never know when that's going to come to a screeching halt or what's going to interfere with your food production. Because it can happen. And it happens. You know, things happen in life and on your property, you know, where you have all these plans of having a certain amount of food or whatever. Thank you, Vinny. You know, and something interferes with it. I want to share one funny story with you before I close the show. So, you know, on all the birds we've added this year, like we have over 50 birds. I tried to count them in my head the other day, and I asked Mason to help me count, and we couldn't actually come up with a number. Like, we kept recounting and. But anyway, there's over 50 birds on the property. And I mean, there's 13 guineas that are new this year that are still alive right now today, because I counted them before I started the show. And then we have some other hens, laying hens, and we have this one turkey. And this is the funniest thing, you guys. So this one turkey, I don't know if the kids have constantly picked it up and held it and stuff, but anyway, it has taken to, if Rochelle goes down there in the Tuatora, our rig for the property, you know, our UTV, utility vehicle, that thing, like, gets up in the seat next to her and just sits down and goes for a ride with her in her little rig. It's the funniest thing. Anyway, hey, we're down to a few seconds here. Remember, listen to Hal Anthony tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern. Catch my show Wednesday night, The Extinction of the Human Population, Race, whatever, on 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. Thank you. See you next time on Right on the Left Coast podcast. Thank you for listening.